Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to Daf Ayin Dalid, we notice a Mishnah at the top of the page. Elu Asurin, the following are forbidden substances, V'Oisrin B'Kolshu, and they can render unfit a mixture even if they are of a minuscule amount. Kolshu means a very minor quantity, infinitesimally small amount. The list includes 11 items. 1. Yayin Nesech. Rashi points out, Chovis Be'elef Chovios. If you have a barrel of kosher of unkosher wine, Yayin Nesech is wine that's used by Gentiles in idol worship. One barrel of that gets mixed up with 1,000 barrels of acceptable of kosher wine, they're all rendered unfit. V'avodas kechavim, an idol amongst other statues that are not worshipped. So if they're all of the same form, just one happened to be worshipped and the others are not worshipped, the entire lot becomes forbidden. V'oros levuvin, these are flaps of skin that were part of an idolatrous service. If that flap of skin gets mixed up with regular pieces of skin, of leather skins, that would render the entire lot unfit. The Shor Haniskal, this is an animal that killed a human being. If it's killed a person and is sentenced to being itself to be executed, and that animal, before it's executed, gets mixed up with a herd of regular animals, the entire herd becomes forbidden. The Eglo Arufa, this is an animal, a calf that's set aside for the purpose of a ritual in the case that a murder victim was found between two cities. So the town that's closer to the murdered victim is required to bring a calf and break its neck as a form of atonement until the murderer is actually found. So if an Eglo Arufa gets mixed up with other animals, with other calves, they all become forbidden. The Tzipore Mitzora, these are birds that the Mitzora brings as part of his purification process. The Se'ar Nazir, the hair that is cut, removed from a person who finished his Nazir period. Upeter Chamor, a firstborn donkey. Ubosr b'cholov, this is a piece of meat that was cooked up in milk. If this piece of meat then gets mixed up with other kosher pieces of meat, the entire lot becomes prohibited. The soyer hamishtaleach, this is the goat that's sent away on Yom Kippur out of the Beis HaMikdash to atone for the sins of Klal Yisrael. The chulin shenishchatu ba'azorah, unsanctified animals that were slaughtered in the temple courtyard. They are chulin, they're non-sacrifices. If animals' meat like that, chulin, shenishchatu ba'azorah, gets mixed up with other meat, the entire batch becomes prohibited. And as the Mishnah says, when we say the entire batch becomes prohibited, regardless of the amount of allowed substance. Hare elu asurin v'osrin b'kol shehu. All of these are forbidden, and they, when mixed up with others, even with a vast amount of allowed substance, the entire mixture is prohibited. The first few lines of Gemara are designed to clarify what are the requirements that of the Mishnah in order for something to be categorized so seriously. Tana my kachoshiv. When the Tana forbids bekolshu, this infinitesimally small amount of prohibited substance is able to aser other things, what is considered e dovar shebeminyan kachoshiv? If the Mishnah is enumerating things that have individual significance. Dovar Shebeminyan is a reference to items that when they are sold by individual number as individual items. So if the Mishnah is considering Dovar Shebeminyan and not just Isurei Hana'ah and not just items that are forbidden to benefit from, so Lisni Nami Chatichos Nevela. Let the Mishnah include in its list of things nice cuts of meat that are from animals that were not properly slaughtered. So if the Mishnah is a list of things that are Dovar Shebeminyan, items that are counted out individually, that when sold, for example, these are all examples of things that are sold individually and not by quantity, then why not consider in the list of things Chatichos Nevela? Those are also things that are sold individually. These are nice cuts of meat. E Isurei Hana'ah Kochoshiv, if the Mishnah is interested in providing a list of things that one is not allowed to benefit from, then Lisni Nami Chometz V'Pesach. The Mishnah could have included in its list of things Chometz. On Pesach, chometz on Pesach is an example of an Isur Hana'ah, and the Mishnah doesn't list that. Omer b'chiyo bar Abba v'itemor v'yitzchok nafcho, hai Tana tarti islei. This Tana, in order to form his list of those items that aser b'kol shehu, must have these two characteristics, namely dover shebeminyan v'isur Hana'ah. They are things that have individual significance, that as individual items they are significant, and they are also items that are prohibited not just to eat, but items prohibited from benefiting from as well. Therefore, what is prohibited and will aser even if it is an infinitesimally small quantity of the mixture, things that are Dover Shebeminyan and Isurei Hana'ah. At this point, we have a new geometric form. We see triangles with colored in tips. This is explained on the outside margin. You see the Mivneh, the structural note. Hatsa'ois lehoisif dvorim noisofim lemishnah. Suggestions to include other examples in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, for listening, why not include Egoize perech v'rimone badon? These are different types of fruits. Egoizim from perech, it's the name of a place, and rimone badon. What are their nature? And we might point out that the problems of these fruits are that they may be orla fruits, or you can have a situation of kilei hakerem. But if as fruits, the orla possibility would present a problem. Orla are fruits that are part of a tree that is less than 3 years old. What is the nature of orla? Orla is something that's forbidden to benefit from. One cannot sell off orla produce, and certainly it's also to eat. But not only is it also to eat, it's also also b'hanah. And these, the egoze, perech, and rimone badam, are apparently very significant fruits, so significant that they are sold off by as individual in an individual fashion. One won't buy 10 pounds of egoze perech. He will buy individual egoze perech. And likewise with the Rimone Badon, classifying them as Dover Shebeminyan. The Gemara answers, Ha Tana Lehosam. Don't worry, these are featured in another place, in another Mishnah. They are featured in Seder Zroim. Haroi Laor Laorla. Haroi Lekile Kerem, Kile Kerem. the Mishnah there points out that there are things that are capable of creating a prohibition when part of a mixture. And the Mishnah there makes reference to those things that are prohibited as by virtue of Orla, so they are classified as Orla and prohibit in a mixture. And similarly, things in the list over there in Seder's Royim that are Shayach to the realm of Kilei HaKerem, Aser on the grounds of there being Kilei HaKerem. So as far as Egozei Perech and Rimonei Badon, as creating a problem in a mixture, even though there's a vast amount of heter that outnumbers them, and still the mixture remains forbidden, that is accounted for in the Mishnah in Seder Zroyim. The Gemara asks, well, what about the Lisni Kikros Shel Baal Abayis Le'inyin Chometz V'Pesach? These are nicely formed loaves of chometz, baked goods. Chometz on Pesach is Osir Bahano, according to certain opinions. And as such, these Kikros Shebaal Abayis are sold individually. They are Dover Shebaminyan, and they are also Osir Bahano. So why does our Mishnah not mention them as creating a problem in a mixture? That Asir B'mashu. The Gemara answers, Man Shamis Le De Omar Chometz BePesach Osir BeHano. We're following the girsa that you find included in the inside margin. Who is it that has been known to say that Chometz on Pesach is classified as something forbidden to benefit from? The answer is Rabbi Akiva. It is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Well, Hotonale Hosam. Rabbi Akiva adds to the Tanaic source that was just mentioned, Rabbi Akiva Moisif Af Kikros Shebaal Abayis. Rabbi Akiva adds the issue of the loaves, privately baked loaves. Those are, in fact, when it comes to Pesach, they would be Dover Shebaminyan and Osir Bahano, and will create a problem in a mixture. So our Mishnah doesn't have to trouble itself to make mention of Kikros Shebaal Abayis when it is already included in the Mishnah over there in Seder Zroyim. Hare Elu, the Mishnah used the expression at the end of the Mishnah. It said Hare Elu Asurin. So Limute Mai, when you say Hare Elu, these is a limitation expression, these and not something else. So what is not included in the Mishnah, namely what is not included as being a severe prohibitor when found in a mixture? Answer, Limute Dovor Shebeminyan V'lav Isurei Hano. One possibility is it's coming to exclude something that, although it's counted individually, it nevertheless is something that's not Osir Bahano. We had an example of that above. We had Chaticha Shel Nevela. Inami, another example of something that's excluded by the Mishnah, that does not Asir B'mashu, would be Vimute Isurei Hano V'lo Dovar Shebeminyan. It might be might coming to exclude something that may all be, although forbidden to benefit from, nevertheless it's not something that's sold individually. Examples of that might be pieces of chometz on Pesach, that even though chometz Pesach is osir b'hano, nevertheless people don't buy individual half slices of bread. Therefore, according to our Mishnah, if you had a piece of chometz, an insignificant piece of chometz that got mixed up with non-chometz baked goods on Pesach, it would not aser b'mashu. The Mishnah, Yayin Nesech Shenofal Lebor Kulo Osir Bahano. If you have unkosher wine, Gentile wine, wine that's used for the service of idolatry, and if the Yayin Nesach falls into a pit of kosher wine, the entire pit is rendered unfit and even to benefit from. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Yimocher Kulo Lovei Kochavim Chutz Midmei Yayin Nesach Shebo. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is lenient and says that one is allowed to sell off the entire all of the wine, with the exception of the value of the quantity of forbidden wine that fell in. In other words, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Yayin Nesech does not aser be kol shehu. Omar Rav Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel Chovis bechovios avolo Yayin beYayin. Rav rules like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but with a major limitation. And that is that if you have barrels of wine that got mixed up, one barrel of Yayin Esech amongst many barrels of kosher wine, it's okay. You can sell off the lot of barrels, with the exception of the value of one of the barrels, the value of the Yayin Esech barrel. However, we are not going to rule like Rav Shimon Gamliel in a case of where the wine itself gets mixed up. Namely, you have a pit of wine and some unkosher wine fell into the barrel of kosher wine. So if it's a mixture within the same barrel or the same pit, Rav will not rule like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and in that case the entire pit or the entire barrel of wine will be rendered unfit. Ushmuel Amar afilu yayin b'yayin. Shmuel rules like Rav Shimon Gamliel leniently, even in when it's a mixture of wine itself, and thereby one can sell off the entire barrel of wine. Even though there's a small amount, there's some Yayin Nesech mixed in, you can sell off the entire barrel of wine, with the exception of the value of the amount of Yayin Nesech that fell in. V'chein Omar Rabba Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yochanan, afilu Yayin b'Yayin. V'chein Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nosson Omar B'Chanina, afilu Yayin b'Yayin. V'chein Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Ravua, afilu Yayin b'Yayin. Notice we've numbered off all of these opinions, four opinions that rule leniently. Omar Rav Nachman, Halacha L'maisa, Yayin Nesech. When you have a mixture of forbidden wine, Yayin b'Yayin Osir. Chavis b'Chavis Mutter. This ruling would parallel Rav's approach, that if it's a mixture of wine itself, then the Yayin Nesech, when mixing into other wine, will render it forbidden. However, if it's separate barrels of wine that get mixed up, where a barrel of Yayin Esech gets mixed up amongst barrels of kosher wine, then you are able to sell off the lot minus the value of one of the barrels. Stam Yayin, this is Gentile owned wine, but we do not know that he used it in an act of idolatry. Afilu Yayin B'Yayin Mutter, if a little bit of Stam Yayin, a small quantity of Stam Yayin, Gentile-owned wine, gets mixed up with kosher wine, since it's Stam Yayin, it's not wine that was actually used in the service of idols, it was simply Gentile-owned, when it's in a mixture, the mixture is allowed, you could sell it off, with the exception of the value of the Stam Yayin that's in the mixture. On Amid Beis, we continue with a Mishnah at the top. The topic heading we've assigned to this Gemara, in the margin you see the Nosei, Hachshoras Gas Shel Evan Eitz Cheres. We're talking about a wine press that was problematic. It had a problem of Yayin Esech, and now I want to kasher it. I want to make it suitable for the use of kosher wine manufacture. The halacha and the method will be dependent on what is the material from which this wine press was made. You have stone, wood, and earthenware, clay. In addition, we will see shortly that different types of presses were at times lined with pitch. The pitch itself has a foulness to it, and in order to offset the foulness, wine was added to the pitch. If the wine that was added to the pitch is of an unkosher nature, so we will have to concern ourselves with how to kosher such a lined wine press. in the Mishnah itself, you can see we've used underlinings to highlight the different materials. In addition to that, we will encounter opinions of Rebbe and the Chachamim with regard to some of these issues. The Mishnah, Gas Shel Even Shezifsa Oive Kichovim, a stone press that was lined with pitch by a Gentile, and the custom was that wine was added to the pitch. Minagva Vihi Tahira. Minagva is explained by the Gemara as a process of using water and ash to cleanse it or to absorb the wine content. For our purposes, we'll refer to it as niguv until the Gemara refocuses on it, on how it's done. Continuing, Vishel Eitz, if it's a wooden wine press, the wooden wine press needs a lot of pitch in its preparation, and as a result of the large amount of pitch that's needed, there's also a lot of wine absorption. Rebbe Omer Yinogev. According to Rebbe, it's sufficient to do the niguv process, similarly to the way we treat the Even, the stone press. The Chachamim Omrim Yikloif Es Hazefes. The Chachamim disagree and say that you have to peel off the lining, you have to peel off the zephes, the pitch. Vishel Cheres Afalpi Shekolaf Es Hazefes Harezu Asura. If it's a clay press, even if you peeled off the lining, it's osur. It's not allowed to be used any further. It's not allowed to be used for kosher wine. The reason here is that the clay itself absorbs, so that regardless of the pitch, even if you remove the lining, you still have a problem of the press itself, the clay press itself, having absorbed the forbidden wine. Rashi adds a very important point. Its significance will be felt only later in the Gemara, and that is that this comment is thought to be said by everybody, namely that even Rebbe would agree that the cheres is rendered unfit and that there's no solution for it. As we say, this point is a havamina right now, that it's thought to be that this is everyone's opinion. This will change later in the Gemara. In other words, we will refocus our thoughts and point out that this is not according to all opinions. As we turn to the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. We see a diamond appearing. This is explained in our outside margin. Shnei Lishonos Shel Rava. We'll have two versions of Rava. Omar Rava, Davko Zifsa, Avol Dorach Bo Loi. The requirement of the Mishnah is only if you're dealing with a press that was lined. However, if the Gentile, let us say, pressed wine with a non-lined wine press, then you wouldn't need niguv. Niguv is a, as we mentioned earlier, is a process of using water and ash to absorb the wine. It would be sufficient if it was a non-lined press, it would be sufficient to rinse it off. The Gemara asks, well, what do I need Rava for? Pshita, zifsotnan. It seems obvious. The Mishnah mentioned that you need the niguv process. When it said minagvo, that's only in the case if it's lined. So from the Mishnah itself, I could have concluded this. What do I need Rava for? Answer, mahu detema. Without Rava, I might have thought Huhadin Afilu Dorach Bo, that I would have thought that you Huhadin, that you require Niguv, even if it was merely used as a press, even if it's unlined. The high dikotani zifsa, and the fact that the Mishnah made mention of zifsa, urcha de milsa katani, that it was only the usual way, the normal way, but not as an exclusionary point. Kamash Molan, Rava comes to tell me that the presence of zifsa in the Mishnah is exclusionary, that only if it's zifsa do you require the niguv process, but if it was simply used as a press without having been lined with the pitch, then hadocha would be enough, the rinsing off would be enough. Iko Diamri. Now we see another version. In our marking system, we treat alternative versions with a squiggle underline. And here you have the expression indicating the alternative, Iko Diamri, another version, Omar Rova, Davko Zivsa. Only if it's Zivsa would you do the Niguv process. Avol Dorach Bo. But if you pressed wine in a lined press, in other words, it wasn't just lined with pitch, it was lined and also used as a press. Lo sagi lo benigov. Niguv would not be enough, and you would require the peeling off of the lining. Gemara asks, well, as far as Rava is concerned, see, it seems to be unnecessary to have him say what he says. Pshita, it's obvious. Ziv sotnan. The Mishnah made reference to the lining. The Mishnah didn't mention anything about a lined press being used. It only spoke about a press that had been lined. So I, on my own, could understand, without Rava telling me that, when is Niguv enough, when is Niguv sufficient, that's if it was not used. So the Gemara answers, well, without Rava, I might have thought something else. Ma'u detema. Without Rava, I might have thought, hu hadin dafilu dorach bo, that even if it was a lined press that was used as a press, niguv would be enough. V'hai dikotoni zifsa, and the fact that the Mishnah mentioned zifsa and didn't mention it having been used, urcha demilsa kotoni. The Mishnah was speaking in the normal way. That, namely, what does that mean? That the derech of zofsin, the normal way of preparing lined presses, is to add wine to the pitch. Kamash malon, davka zivsa. Rava comes to tell me that the Mishnah was not just an urcha de milsa situation, but is telling me only if it was merely lined and avol. But dorach bo, if it was used as well, loisagi lo benigov, nigov would not be enough. Rather, you'd have to peel off all of the lining. And the reason for having to peel off all of the lining and not rely on niguv alone is because the wine that's added to the lining has a tendency to get into the cracks in the pitch, wine accumulation in the cracks would not be eliminated, would not be removed by the niguv process. And the only way, therefore, to ensure kashrus would be by peeling off the lining altogether. The Gemara now provides a little story to illustrate this phenomenon of the wine getting into the cracks, and hence, of course, needing kiluf, needing the pitch to be peeled off entirely and not relying on the niguv alone. The length of this mice is indicated by a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Between the Gemara and the Tosis, you'll notice that the word mice has been written in and circled. Under it follows a dashed vertical line, indicating that all of these lines are part of the incident, the mice. Ki hahu de'osu l'kame de'Rav Chiya, like a story involving someone once appearing to Rabbi Chiya. Amale, and the man came and asked of the rabbi, he said, Havli Gavra, provide for me a man, Dedochi Li Matzartoi, that will purify or kasher my press. Omar Le Rav. So Rav Chiya turned to his nephew, turned to Rav, and said, Zil Bahadei, go with the man, Vechozi Delo Matzviches Olai Be Medroshen, take care of it and see to it that there will be no complaints on me in the Beis Medrash. Matzvichis means to there will be no screams against me in the Beis Medrash. So Reb Chiya is encouraging Rav to make sure that you do a good job. Ozal Chazia Dehave Shiotve. He saw, Rav saw that the press was very smooth. Omar Ha Vadai Beniguv Sagila. It's so smooth that Niguv would probably be enough. Bahadi deko ozil veosi, on his way out, he noticed choza pila mituse. He noticed a crack underneath. The choza dava mola chamra, and he saw that the crack was filled with wine. Once again, this is the wine that the Gentile adds to the pitch in order to remove the foulness. So he saw there was a crack underneath, and the crack was filled with wine. Omar, Rav said, this situation is not dealt with sufficiently by niguv. In other words, niguv would be insufficient, but rather peeling would be necessary. You'd have to, this requires the peeling away of all of the lining. And now I understand what Chavivi. Chavivi is my beloved one, or my uncle, namely Reb Chiya. I now understand what Reb Chiya said to me when he said, "Chazi de lo masvichas alai be medrasha," that make sure that they don't scream at me in the base medrash. In other words, that Reb Chiya was encouraging me to make sure that the job is done 100%, and that extra warning helped to Rav now understood was because of the situation of something appearing to be one way and in reality turning out to be something else, turning out to be more serious. We have a Gemara now that introduces a Tanaic source, a Brisa, with a number of different items that are used in the wine processing. In the course of this Gemara, we'll see a Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim. And as we go on in the Gemara, we'll also have to take note of the fact that there are different materials that are represented. For your convenience, we've produced a chart on the side that has not been completed, but it's suitable for review purposes. We've called it a Tavla L'Chazora. You can see on the outside margin a chart for review, Sugyas Hachshoras Gas. This is a chart that covers the topic of kashering a wine press. So on this chart, you see the upper part is Dorach. Dorach means a press that was used for pressing, and the bottom half of the chart is Lo Dorach, where it was not used. The chart features the different materials mentioned: Evan, Eitz, and Cheres, stone, wood, and clay. On the outside part of the chart, you'll notice Rebbe and the Rabbonin appear. And the different factors will be under each material, Evan, Eitz, and Cheres. You'll have either it's Mezupov, it's lined, or Eno Mezupov, not lined. Turning now to the Gemara. Tana Rabbonin. Hagas. The gas is the press, and we're talking about a press made of clay. That particular point doesn't appear in the words, but it's mentioned. And we've written it in. The point that this is cheres, you will find in the Rashi, in the Dibur HaMaschil Machatz. Therefore, we've taken the liberties of writing it in right at the beginning. Hagas v'hamachatz v'hamashpech. Machatz is a vessel used for scooping out wine from the pit. From when you want to draw wine from the pit to put it into a barrel, you use a machatz. V'hamashpech, we've seen that in earlier Gemaras, a funnel, shel oivdei kechovim. So you have these different items, and we're also noting that they are not lined. Rebbe matir beniguv. Rebbe says that if they haven't been lined, so you don't have the issue of the forbidden wine added to the pitch, to the pitch lining. So it's sufficient to do the niguv process to kasher it. V'chachomim oisrin. Umode Rebbe bekankanim shel ovdei kochavim. Rebbe agrees that when you're dealing with earthenware kankanim, these are vessels for storing wine, shehein asurin, that they are forbidden. In other words, that the simple niguv process will not be enough. In order to kasher kankanim, Rashi points out that you'll have to do a fill up with water on a consecutive 3-day basis in order to kasher it. That's a situation where you fill up the kankan with water, leave it for 24 hours, pour it out, refill it again, leave it for another 24 hours, and do that 3 times. Uma hefrish bein zeh lozeh. Why is there a difference between kankanim and the above mentioned utensils? Answer: zeh machniso lekiyum, zeh ein machniso lekiyum. The kankanim are used for long-term storage, hence the absorption problem is greater than those utensils or items not used for storage. Vishel eitz, vishel evin. Notice here we're referring to the different materials. The first part of this source, as we mentioned, was featuring clay. However, if these items are made of wood or of stone, yinogev, then the niguv process would be enough. The im hoyu mizupofen asurin. If they are lined, then they are forbidden until they are until it's peeled away, until the lining is peeled away. The Gemara asks v'ha tanan, but we have the following teaching: gas shel evan. Shezifsa oved kochavim minagvo vehi tahora. In this source, we see that a stone gas that was lined niguv is enough. In the source just above, we saw evan was mentioned, and it says if it's mizupafin, it's aser. So if you contrast compare the dashed underlined sections, you see in the first source we have evan dashed underlined and it says mizupofen asurin, that it's usur until you peel it away, and here you have a case of zifsa and it mentions it's evan and zifsa minagvo vitora, that niguv is enough and you don't have to go to the extreme measure of peeling it away. The Gemara resolves these two sources as follows: masnisen delo dorach ba. The Mishnah that says that niguv is enough, that's a case where the press was simply lined and not used yet for pressing. Therefore, niguv would be enough. Braisa the dorach ba. The braisa where it said that shel evan, it's that mizupofen or asurin, is a situation where it was used already for pressing, and even if it's stone, and it goes without saying, if it's wood. You would have to peel it away, and niguv would not be enough. Omar Mar, hagas v'machatz v'mashpech shel ovdei kochavim. Rebbe matir beniguv, v'chachomim osrin. This is a quote from the source we saw very recently. In order to find where this quote comes from, take advantage of the arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll find a parallel arrow a few lines above. So in that source we saw the different earthenware clay wine utensils. Rebbe saying that niguv would be sufficient, and the Chumash saying that it doesn't help. The question comes from our Mishnah. V'hanantnan, we have a little asterisk written into the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, making it convenient for you to find where this is coming from. You can see the parallel asterisk is the third line from the top. A quote from our Mishnah, which also features something made of cheres. It says, Shel cheres, afopi shekolaf esazefes, arei zu asura. This was the third example in the Mishnah, the seif of the Mishnah, that featured earthenware wine vessels or utensils. And it says that kiluf would not be enough. That's a rather extreme approach, that kiluf would not be enough. And as we mentioned, when it says harezu asura, the havamina is that's the divrei hakol, including Rebbe. And yet we saw Rebbe that said about these things that just 2 lines above, that Rebbe's matir ben iguf. Omar Rova, Sefer de Masnisin, Ason the Rabbonan. This end of the Mishnah, the third example of the Mishnah that featured the cheres, the clay wine utensils, as saying that even kiluf would not be enough, that's according to the Rabbonan, who are very stringent. And it's not, like we thought, an opinion that is according to everyone. Therefore, with regard to the cheres, there is a machlokis Rebbe and the Chachomim in how you deal with the cheres lined wine vessels. According to Rebbe, niguv would be sufficient, and according to the Chachomim, even kiluf would not be enough. Dorash Rova, Na'avo Arsicho. Na'avo is a press. Arsichu is boil it up. In other words, you have to boil it up in order to kasher it. We have a bracketed section of Gemara, and this is explained by the note on the inside margin. Achrei ha-sugrayim, ha-gemara chozeres li'in hachshoras gas. After this bracketed section, the Gemara will go back to the topic that we were discussing, kashering a press. B'soch ha-sugrayim, yesh od halacha shel Rava, v'u b'inyan choysim kli. Within the bracketed section, there's another halacha of Rava dealing with the protection of vessels from being rendered unkosher through seals. Rava ki have mishader, the Gemara continues in the bracketed section. It says Rava ki have mishader gufi l'arpanya, when Rava was sending gufi, are empty flasks. Rashi calls them kadim rekim, empty flasks. And when he was sending, when he would send them to Harpanya, that's the name of a place, sochif luhu apumayu, he would invert them, in other words, the bottoms up, and then put them in a sack. The chosim luhu a birtsaihu, he would then put them in a sack, and tie the sack where the knot was in effect close to the inverted, to the bottom of the vessel. As we mentioned, that the vessels were put into the sacks in an inverted fashion. Kosovar, Rava is doing this, by the way, in order to create a what's known as a choysem besoy choysem situation, a what's in effect a double seal. And we know that when items that, especially when it comes to food items, when you want to prevent them from being switched or tampered with by Gentiles or untrustworthy individuals, we apply a chosem approach where we seal it. The thought being that it's too much trouble for the suspicious individual to try to forge the seal or tamper with it, and it's just simply not worth his while. So that if we can make something slightly inaccessible or difficult to tamper with, that will ensure its kashrus. So Rava treated these empty vessels with a great deal of caution. The Gemara goes on to say, why? Kosavar, he is of the opinion, kol davar shemachnisa lekium, items that are used for storage, Afilu lefi shah, even if you give it to a Gentile for a moment, for a small amount of time, gozru bei rabbonan. The rabbonan imposed stringencies with regard to these vessels as if it were wine itself. And these are all stringencies imposed so as to ensure that we would not entrust these kinds of vessels with the Gentiles. The Gemara above and the Mishnah as well mentioned the niguv process, and we explained briefly that it involved using water and ash with the attempt of rinsing off the questionable item and then absorbing the residue. Here the Gemara focuses on that, b'meh menagvon, through what or how does one accomplish niguv? Rav Omar b'mayim, Rav Barachana Omar b'efer. There seems to be a machlokas over here. The Gemara will clarify and straighten things out and say there's no machlokas whatsoever, but for the time being, Rav says niguv is accomplished with water, rinsing off, and Rabbah says it's accomplished with applying ash. So to this, the Gemara asks, Rav Omar b'mayim, b'mayim v'lo b'efer? When Rav says b'mayim, does he mean water and not the use of efer? If you don't use efer, how can you call it niguv? Niguv has to do with drying something. Rabbah Omar b'chan Omar b'efer. That's a quote from what Rabbah said. So we ask, b'efer v'lo b'mayim, does he mean that literally that you use ash alone and not water? Ella, Rav Omar b'mayim, hu adin li'efer. Rav said water. He meant you first rinse it off, and then afterwards you apply hefer, the ash, to absorb it. Rabbah Babachana Omar be'efer. Rabbah said you apply hefer. Fuadin lemayim. However, Rabbah says you apply hefer first and then water. But as far as substances are concerned, there's no machlokas between Rav and Rabbah with regard to substances. How about with regard to order of things? It seems that Rav says first water and then ash, and Rabbah says first ash and then water. To this the Gemara comments, v'lo pligi. Regarding this also there is no machlokas. Ha b'retifta, ha b'yaveshta. If you're approaching a damp press, so then that's where Rabbah's rule kicks in. You would apply first the afer and then the water. If you're dealing with a dry press, then you would first apply the water and then the afer. That's what Rav said. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.